Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In a way, I was going over this again and dwelling on it, I guess you could say, meditating. Kind of sad that this particular theme is ending. Now, please understand, just because a theme ends doesn't mean we stop practicing that theme. Like, for instance, I hope that you are still continuing to practice our theme from last year, in everything by prayer, right? I mean, I hope that's the case. And I hope that your prayer life has continued to grow this last year as well. And then going forward, I hope that you'll take the tools and the ideas that we've talked about studying to go forward in this next year and our new theme. You see, themes are supposed to build upon one upon another. They're not supposed to, if you will, go away. And so please, again, I was thinking about all this as I was going over this last sermon here for this particular theme. But it's been a joy. And I don't think I ever thought that as a pastor, when God laid a theme upon my heart, that I could preach the entire year of Sundays on that theme. But guess what? It's not as hard as I thought it was. It's actually pretty easy. I have actually a lot more to say about this particular topic, and that's going to come up a little bit next year as well. I just hope that you have enjoyed this theme as well, and the sermons have hit home for you, etc. So please stand, if you would, out of love and respect for the Word of God. We are going to read together verses 1 through 7. Okay, 1 through 7. You say, wow, we've been reading 1 through 5. Yeah, we're adding two verses today. And I'm taking a chance here. I think I can get through two more verses. I'm not sure, but we'll see. We'll get there. Let's read together verses 1 through 7. Then I'll pray and we'll have the kids come. And they'll sing and we'll get into this final message of study to show thyself approved. Let's read together in verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, here we are once again and talking about these things in Timothy, 2 Timothy, and I just want you to go back to chapter 2 and verse 15, because that's kind of where we started, and way back in January, okay, 51 weeks ago. And so please understand that we've been working our way through here, and I hope that you value how much information and how much we've been able to learn from these several verses of the Bible. And I hope it has built line upon line, precept upon precept, as we've grown this year even in our study. You ought to read, but along with your reading, I hope that you've developed a desire and a sense to look deeper, to look into the Scriptures and to assimilate them and to ponder them and to meditate upon them and think about them and even do a little bit of research and maybe discover what some of these words have a fuller meaning of, etc. And to really grab hold of the Word of God. Folks, I promise you, it's not a waste of time. It's a very important part of our lives to consume the Word of God and to make it part of our existence. The whole point is, as we move forward into a new theme, don't discard the old theme. I hope that you're still developing your prayer life. Or as we said at the end of last year, your life of prayer. And I also hope that this year You don't discard study to show thyself approved. That you continue to study and you continue to pray as we enter into a new theme on Wednesday. So, with that said, I want you to look at verse 6. And the Apostle Paul now has charged his son in the faith. His last statement to him was, make full proof of thy ministry. And we went through great extent last week to go through those things and to understand that we need to be out there and we need to entirely accomplish the charge that God has put for us to be charged with as we serve him to the utmost fullness that we can and are able to serve him, to watch in all things and to endure afflictions and to do the work of an evangelist and to entirely accomplish the ministry. And folks, to the saved and to the lost, we have a ministry. To one another, we have a ministry. To our families, we have a ministry. To ourselves, we have a ministry. And we need to make full proof or fully accomplish, entirely accomplish, the ministry God has set for us to do. Now, Paul says, in closing, if you will, to his son in the faith, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And as I was studying and reading about this particular phrase, Paul is basically telling Timothy, Timothy, I am passing the baton to you. He said, it is your turn. And can I say something to you? This is real to me. I remember just a few short years ago, Brother Lassiter was preaching, I don't even remember when exactly it was, but he was preaching a message and he was talking about how we preachers of now are not always going to be here. We're going to pass off the scene at some time. And the next generation of young men need to step up and be ready to come. But listen, folks, I could have never had imagined that my preacher and my dear friend would come and come about to have cancer. And because of the pain, just could no longer pastor. Listen, folks, I was shocked when he announced that was happening to him. And we don't know. And so Paul knew he was passing off the scene. And so it was even more imperative. How many of you have ever run in a relay race with someone? Okay. I had the privilege of doing that. And I was a long distance runner. So the 4x800 or the 2 mile relay was the relay I ran in, because an 800 was kind of short for me, but I was more of a distance runner. But can I tell you something, that when you're running around that track, and those of you that raise your hand, you know this, you only have a short window and you have to stay in your lane. And there's an exchange zone that you must exchange the baton or you're disqualified. There's a certain limit, okay? And so as you're entering into that, the person passing off the baton has an urgency. I mean, I've got to get that baton into the hand of the next person before I run out of space. Or if you will, before I run out of time. And then, you know what? A similar urgency is for that person to get the baton and to not fumble it. I remember one year, I think it was at state even, and our 4x100 relay was doing really well. We had some fast guys and they were flying around, and that last one, the baton went smack in the hand, and then something happened and it got twisted or something and it fell. Falls to the ground, you're done. You see, we cannot mess it up. There's an urgency to it. And Paul said, hey, for now, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He says, Timothy, not only am I ready, but it's here. My time is here. And you're the next hope of things. You're the one that is going to carry this charge to the next generation. And then Timothy, you're the one that's going to have to charge them when your time is at hand. And when you're ready to be offered. And so, folks, we've got to understand that all things do come to an end, if you will. But we must be ready to pass things on. We must be ready to give, if you will, it all to the next generation so that they can continue the work. You see, the work has to go on. Until that trumpet sounds and the church is raptured out, we must continue in these things. And we must pass on the gospel message. And listen, those of us that are older, or it really, I guess it doesn't really matter because any of us can die at any given moment, old or young. But I want you to realize that we have an urgency to pass this charge on to the next generation. Paul said here in verse 6, he said, I am ready to be offered. That word offered simply means poured out or completely spent. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready, Timothy. I've sacrificed my life. I've done the work that God has told me to do. I am spent. I am poured out. And by the way, above measure, Paul accomplished this work, didn't he? I mean, just go back in Corinthians and listen to the list of things that he endured. All the beatings and the imprisonments. And I love the phrase where he says, in deaths oft. Paul, how many times did you die? well, a lot, I guess. Listen, I mean, he's a night and a day in the deep, right? Went through all these things. The man gave everything, did he not? He indeed followed what he said in Romans 12. You know this verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Folks, Paul was ready to be offered. He was ready to be sacrificed and move on. He was ready to accomplish. By the way, we're going to look, why don't you go ahead and go over there. We're going to go over to Acts chapter 20. As he was ending his ministry, he knew he was going to be bound. He knew he was going to brought before Caesar. He knew he was going to be killed. And yet he went anyways. And he accomplished what God, he was ready to be offered. He had his time of departure was at hand. He knew his time was nearing an end. By the way, when he went to Lystra and preached and they took him outside the city and stoned him to death, God said, nope, not your turn. And he raised him up and sent him back into town. I love that story. I just try to sit there and picture how those people felt as Paul was walking back into town. I think I'm going to go back inside. You know, I mean, I don't know what they thought. But my goodness. He said, I'm ready now. In Philippians, Paul wrote this. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Do you understand that this thing of being offered and being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, is not a drudgery, is not a negative,
It is a great big positive. It's a joy. It's an excitement. Paul was not lamenting that his ministry and his time on this earth was over, but rather he was glad to be able to pass on to Timothy this charge. And these things, to serve God as he served God. And it would be Paul would joy not only in his service and Timothy in Timothy's service, but Timothy in Paul's service. You know, I thank God for Dr. Keith Gomez. I thank God for Dr. Bob Smith. I thank God for Dr. Lassiter. And these men that have had an investment in my life. These preachers that have poured into me. You know, this word being poured out. You know, I hope that I can pour my life into some of these preacher boys as they learn and grow. Folks, our whole job is to be poured out for God. Are you ready to be poured out as a living sacrifice to the next generation? Paul was so glad. Are you there in Acts 20? He gathered together, look at verse 17. You see how he gathered together these preachers, these pastors, these people of the faith that he wanted to talk to before he went to Jerusalem. And he gathers together, and look at verse 18. It says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, with you at all seasons." He said, "Guys, listen, from the day I stepped foot into this place, I have poured myself out into you. I have sacrificed, and I have spent all here and in you and in your churches and in your places." He said, "I've been with you, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing." He said, "I didn't keep anything back." That's why he could tell Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said, "Timothy, I am ready to be offered. I am poured out. My time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I haven't kept anything back from you." He said, "That was profitable, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me." But how many of you have this part memorized? What Paul says next in Acts 20. You should. Listen to what he says. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." That's amazing, isn't it? And you know what? This man gave everything. And many account Paul as the greatest Christian of Christians, if you will, right? I mean, he's amazing. And what he accomplished was amazing. And how he carried himself was amazing. And his preaching was amazing. His writings certainly are amazing. But I want you to understand that he did this in the service of his God. And he did it completely. So the charge that he passed on to Timothy and the information, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Preach the word." He says, "Watch in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof." He did all of that. He poured himself out in all of that completely. And folks, we must take on that charge. And we must go forth and make ourselves ready to be offered. And know that the time of our departure possibly is at hand. I don't know how many years the Lord's going to give me. I'd like to think that maybe I could have I think mathematically I can still do another 48. That'll make 96. That's all right, right? 96 seems reasonable. Yeah? I mean, I'm not asking for 196, I guess, but, you know, 96 is okay. My grandma's going to be 95, right, Grandma? In February. My dad's mom. My grandpa was 91, so, I mean, 96, that's not bad. I could shoot for 96. I don't know if I'll live that long, but, you know, and maybe the Lord will come back before then. But here's the thing. Whatever amount of time that we have left, we must be willing to pour ourselves out. Think of it like this. I had this thought. It's so much fun. You know, God gives us stories in the Scriptures, right? Remember how in the Old Testament there was a time where things were not so good? And there was a famine? And remember the prophet went down to this place and there was this lady, right? And she had this little cruse of oil and this little thing of meal. And she was going to make her last meal. Right? And they were going to die. And the prophet said, no, make me a little cake first. And guess what happened to that little cruse of oil and that little thing of meal? She kept pouring it out. And then what'd she do the next time? And the next time? And the next time? I remember a lady in my life. Oh, boy. Why did her name just slip out of my head? No. Marilyn's mom. Margaret. Yes, Margaret. Thank you. Margaret. Miss Margaret. She was so much fun. She had this little jug. And it was one of those trick jugs. And when you tipped it over and poured out all the water, she shook it all out. You know, it had a little valve, and you know how those little tricks work. But, you know, to us kids, it was amazing that every time, oh, I'm so thirsty, I need a drink of water, she'd empty her jug, and then she'd get a drink. And then, oh, I'm so thirsty again, she'd empty her jug. How'd she do that? How did it fill up again? You know, but here's, listen, folks. You say, Pastor, I'm just afraid maybe I'll pour myself out too soon. Can I just say, maybe you're like that little cruse of oil or that never-ending jug. And you think you poured yourself all the way out. And then you go to pour yourself out again. Guess what? God will give you more to pour out. I'm just telling you, folks, we've got to be ready to be offered. The time of our departure is at hand. Are you willing to not hold anything back? Paul said, look, guys, from the time I stepped foot into Asia, I didn't hold anything back from you. And now I've served God this whole time. And I've poured myself out and poured myself out and poured myself out. And I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. My time is at hand. And I'm not going to see your faces anymore. He said, but this is the work we have to accomplish. The next thing he says is this. He says, look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You see, not only do we need to be ready to be offered and ready to be poured out. But we also need to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. You know, God wants us to be in contention with this lost world, if you will. With the devil, the enemy. We're supposed to fight. We're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. We're supposed to be ready to stand and to withstand. And having done all to stand, we're supposed to fight a good warfare. We're supposed to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Enduring those hardships and enduring those afflictions, as he said in verse 5. You know, it's not going to be easy. And you know what? The course is not going to be easy to navigate. I told you I was a runner. And I would run cross country. And a lot of times they were mapped out on a golf course. If you ever ran cross country, they would take a golf course and they would put a course, set up a course there. And I remember it was November. Now, why in the world in North Dakota? Yeah, I grew up in North Dakota. Brother Nicholas, you spent some time up in Chicago area in college. You guys were playing football in November, and all this stuff. And you're like, why in the world are we playing outside, in November with all the snow and the ice and everything? Now, listen to me. I understand. I went to public high school, okay? And back in the 90s when I was running cross country, I was on the state, I got to be on the state cross country team. And we ran, I think we were in Jamestown, Mom, weren't we, I think? Was where state was, my senior year. How many of you are familiar with track and cross country outfits? Okay? They are not the most modest of outfits. Okay? They're made of a silky material. Back in the 90s, we had the track shorts, which I don't even know that they're shorts. They only go like to here. Okay? I mean, it's not much. And tank tops in the end of November. Let me put an emphasis on the brr. November. Okay? State track. I don't remember what day it was on, but it was a cold day. I believe it was 23 degrees. Okay? And I'm in my little track outfit. All 120 pounds of me. I was more than that probably by then. Maybe 150. But, cross country runners aren't well insulated people. Okay? Very low body fat percentage. The little clippy thing that they test the body fat doesn't even clip on you. You know how that works? Okay? He's smiling. He knows what I'm talking about. I was purple! I mean, not very long into the race, I couldn't feel my skin. It's like that tingly feeling that you get, and you're frozen. I was frozen. I was a running frozen piece of person. And it wasn't easy. It was hard. But you still have to finish your course. Nobody said this Christian life's going to be easy. In fact, God says if you're going to be godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Count it all joy when divers temptations come. Folks, listen, there's a great conflict. It is a fight. Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we're compassed also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You understand, folks, we must fight the good fight. We must finish our course. It is not an easy thing. Paul knew he was going to get to Rome. That's why he said, sirs, be of good cheer. He said, for I believe God. He said, God's given me all those on the ship. Yeah, the ship's going to be lost. You should have stayed in the port. I told you so. But we're going to make it to our destination because God told me we're going to. Folks, you're going to make it to the end of your course. God's going to provide for you. You say, I just don't see a way. Doesn't matter what way. He's going to do it. And you just got to finish. You've just got to run with patience the race. You've got to finish your course. We need to be ready to fight a good fight and finish our course. Paul went through more than probably any of us will ever go through, and he did it, so can we. Jesus Christ endured all the things that we could ever endure, and he finished his course. Folks, we have example after example after example of people that have finished their course. Don't get shipwrecked. Don't get sidetracked. Don't fall off the bandwagon, if you will. Stay faithful and finish. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I've finished. I've fought. I want you to fight. and I want you to finish. In 2 Thessalonians, or excuse me, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Folks, there's going to be contention out there. There's going to be fightings. There's going to be opposition to what we're doing. But we must fight a good fight. And we must finish our course. Over in Colossians, Paul wrote and said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh." You say at Laodicea? Paul loved the people of Laodicea. I thought Laodicea was the bad church. Yeah, but he wanted them to succeed too. So he was willing to have a conflict and to fight that good fight of faith. He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. He was fighting flesh and spirit. He was interested in their success. Now lastly, quickly, you're doing pretty good. I probably could have made this three messages, but we're squeezing it all into one because the end of the year is here. Last one, I have kept the faith. You know, Paul didn't give up anything in his ministry. You know, he was opposed by so many. And there were probably times where maybe, perhaps, he was tempted to quit. But he did not. It says in the Bible that he kept the faith. He didn't let it go. He didn't let it slip. He didn't let it slide. He didn't hide it under a bushel. But he held it forth as a beacon of light in his life. He kept the faith. He held it up high. I mean, how many of you have watched the Olympics and you've watched the runners and they take that torch, right? And they're not trying to keep it secret and they're not trying to hide it. They're running like this. They're championing their cause. It's held out there for all to see. He said, "Timothy, I have kept the faith. It's a shining beacon out there to all those that come after me that this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. There is no other way to heaven but in Christ." And folks, we have got to hold forth the gospel light into this world. And we've got to hold our faith up high and to show to all that Jesus saves. We've got to. We've been charged before God. In Acts 13, we see Saul still. And this is the first time he's also called Paul. It says, "Elymas the sorcerer, for this is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Remember when they went and they had this encounter? And this was an amazing thing. And right up to this point, Barnabas was kind of the chief guy, right? And he was kind of the Paul's mentor. But we see here that Elymas comes forth, and Elymas is a deputy to this leader, he's the sorcerer, he's the advisor to the deputy, and he's trying to turn this man away from the faith. The Bible tells us that Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I love this story. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he picks out this, who wants to be the sorcerer? You look like a good sorcerer. No, he picks him out. And the Bible says he set his eyes on him. I mean, he locked him up. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't cowardly or anything. He locked eyes with him. He set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." Here, should I read this to John? Mom and Dad, should I read this to John? No, just easy. I can pick on John. He's great. All right. You child of the devil, you. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking for some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Isn't that cool? That's an amazing story. What was Paul saying, though? He said, "Timothy, I've kept the faith. Timothy, I looked a sorcerer right in the eyes and I rebuked him in the name of the Lord. And I was able to preach to all these cities and all these places, and I would go in and I'd be stoned and I'd be beaten and I'd be shipwrecked and I'd have all these things befall me. And listen, I even went down to Athens, Timothy. I went by myself there and I debated with the Epicureans and the Stoics, and some of them believed." He said, even some of the priests believed, and some of these pagan people believed, and there were churches started here, there, and everywhere. I have kept the faith. He said, "Timothy, I've championed it. I've held it up high for all to see." In Jude, the Bible tells us, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Folks, we have got to put up a fight. The devil is a worthy adversary. He is seeking whom he may devour. He wants to snuff out your faith. He wants you to put it away. He wants you to set it aside. He wants you to abandon your faith. You must not abandon. You must keep the faith. Folks, this is our charge. Paul said, "Timothy, here's the baton. My time is over. It is now your turn. Your turn to be ready to be poured out. Your turn to be prepared for your departure. Your turn to fight the good fight of faith. Your turn to finish your course. Your turn to keep the faith." Skip down as we close. Look at verse 18. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." At no time did Paul ever take the credit for his successes. He gave all the glory to God. And he said, "Timothy, God will sustain you. God will preserve you. God will keep you just as he kept me. And God will strengthen you and deliver you. He will work with you. He will preserve you. Because it's his work. And you're just the messenger. You're just the servant. So serve him with all your life."